Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Ford, featuring the MyFord mobile smartphone app for electric vehicles. The MyFord mobile app makes the electric driving experience fun and efficient. Learn more about Ford electric vehicle technologies at Ford.com/technology. And by Audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/android.
Welcome to All About Android, episode 63, recorded on Monday, June 11th. Don't laugh, 2012.
Sorry, that was a good one.
Your weekly source for all the latest news, hardware, and apps from the Android faithful. I'm Eileen Rivera.
I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards. And
I think I know what's happening.
I know exactly what's happening.
We're not seeing the program. Actual program.
I don't think anyone's seeing any of the program.
And so that's why we're laughing. Hi.
There we go.
We're back. So those of you who are listening to audio are thinking, I don't know what the heck is going
on. It just takes one thing to change to screw us up.
We are back. Apologies for not being here last week. And we're not canceled. We're here.
Yeah.
We're going to be here every week.
We actually got some people in email that were like, are you done? I really liked the show. Are you going away?
It's good to know they care.
I know.
It was just one of those perfect storms.
Yeah. It really was. You know, once in a blue moon, that might happen, where we just unable to do a show.
We've avoided that fate.
We've been really good for a year.
The inception of the show.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But sometimes stuff gets in the way.
Stuff happens.
It doesn't work out, so.
But we're here. Follow us on at Android Show or our personal Twitters, where we could tell you exactly what's going on with the show.
Yes.
And this week, Andy's back. Mm-hmm. Our guy, he's back. We have the Galaxy S3 in-house, the white version. Thanks again for all of you who were concerned about the show. We're here.
And we're all back together, too, after being scattered and everything.
Lord, yeah.
I'm tired of flying.
I bet you are.
Yeah. Two trips to New York in 2.5 weeks, that'll do it to you. So.
Are you like the mayor of one of these airports of New York?
But I got my mayorship at Carvel on Long Island back. So that's
okay.
That's important.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Priority.
Yeah,
and with the new Foursquare app, right?
Yes.
Don't even get me started on that.
Okay.
Sorry. Anyway.
Right.
It's great. It looks really good, but except that one bit of functionality.
Oh.
Because you can't sort. Old Foursquare would just show you friends in your city.
Yes.
And now
Tom
showing
like
you now showing you everyone. And as much as I like my friends in LA and New York, I don't care where they're checking in right now.
Not as important.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You're trying to track
who's near you. Foursquare is very much in the city, in the zip code I am in, I need to know where people are.
Yeah,
totally. I actually used to always go to the worldwide tab because I just like to know if you were in New York, what you were doing.
Oh, that's very nice. Yeah. Well, sometimes I would scroll down. I'd look to see what
was
going
on. To see. Like, oh, what is Eileen doing? I don't care today.
Anyway. New York.
All right, but we were going to talk about a lot of different things last week, right?
Last week we had at least a decent amount of stories in the lineup. So I thought I'd start off with a little summary of what you missed by us not being here. First, we would have talked about the court ruling that Google didn't infringe on Oracle's copyright when it used Java APIs in Android code. That was actually a very big deal. Ice Cream Sandwich now possesses 7.1% of all Android devices. Google and Asus tablet benchmarks hit the web, further confirming the mystical device. HTC One X and Evo 4G LTE cleared customs and are heading to the shelves. Google acquired Meebo and then actually
shut it down.
PicPlease, which we featured on the show, shut down and many people kind of figured it was in the shadow of the Instagram domination on Android, though they claim it's not related.
Okay.
And some HTC devices are becoming Sony PlayStation certified. That's cool.
Yeah, it's very
that is cool.
I like that a lot. And probably much, much more, but those are the quick headlines, I guess.
It would have been, it was a great show.
I feel like we covered a lot of ground last week.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
Also, over the break, Ron and I talked about hashtagging Android, hashtag Android in the wild on Twitter, G+, or whatever. You know, if you see devices in the wild, that's me. I took a picture of a guy with Kindle Fire because I think one of the last episodes we said we never see a Kindle Fire in the wild. And I was sitting at the airport boom. Well, there no, that actually, guy. No, and I feel if you really creepy up, Chad, taking
if you,
that
if you
photo.
Scroll off, you see, first Eileen said, I see someone using a Kindle Fire. And of course, me says, we should be taking pics. And so then I guilted said, her into it.
You did. And here I am at the airport sitting next to that guy who has no idea who I am and could care less. And I'm just kind of sneaking. Turning my head.
Well, no, I didn't.
Taking, yeah. Like, just a creepy photo, you know.
It's hard.
I felt like a spy.
It's hard to take creepy photos.
And I don't want you to be alone, so.
I felt like a spy. Like, I was like. Yeah.
So last week when I was in the 42nd Street's ACE subway station, I saw a woman reading a Kindle Fire while she was waiting for the train. And this was. So what you got to do when you're in the subway, because also it's like if you see something, say something. So I was like, I was totally pretending I was using my phone.
Yes, of course. Of course.
That's what you have to do.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what you have to do. Yeah. And then we got...
The key thing is to turn your sound down so the shutter noise doesn't go off. That's the, I remember to do that.
Tip number one.
There you go.
All right. And James Ho, who watches the show, also sent us a pic of a Kindle Fire in the wild on the bus.
Oh, that's another, a good one.
Yeah,
that's
isn't that
a
good one? So you
yeah,
don't
that's
see,
that's
you don't
the
see
shoulder.
The face.
Wow.
I know. So hey, if there's an Android device that if you find the Sony Watch out there or the Note,
yes,
or
it's
what's
not
a,
just
what
Kindle.
Other like Loch Ness monster kind of Android device?
I think the Note is a big one.
Yeah.
The watch, like
oh, dude,
oh, the Sony
I
Watch.
Somebody gets that. Bonus,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and if you actually have one of those devices.
Yeah,
be careful, because there might be over your shoulder taking a picture of you.
But, hashtag. But yeah, so hashtag Android in the wild. So that's our...
We're starting that. That's our meme. Yeah. So there you go.
And all these people, by the way, are now internet famous. They don't even know it.
They don't even know it. Probably don't even care, quite honestly, right?
Be discreet. Be, you know, don't invade anyone's privacy.
Don't tell them you're doing it for us.
if for whatever reason you think that, oh, hey, the guys on the gal on All About Android would like to know about this, then take a picture. That should be the thing. Like, if it's just another Galaxy Nexus, I have one. Don't take a picture.
Thunderbolt? No. We don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Jesse, you can't take a picture of your own Note. That doesn't count.
Yes.
Just
no, yeah, it's got to be a surprise. Like, you just wandered into a public place and boom. It's right there. Yep. I love it to see the picture.
I believe also this hashtag can apply to Android devices on television shows. Screen caps of that.
Yes, it would.
Android in the wild. There you go. Okay. We like to do that. And that could be more generic.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if you see CSI, whatever, Tulsa, and they're using an Android phone, you can take a screen cap of that and post it. So
that's unreleased, by the way. Tulsa.
That's next season. Pilot season. Yeah.
Next season.
Yeah. All right. Let's do it. We've got so much to get into. Let's get into the news.
So there was a little rumor floating around. Actually, it was from Robert Scoble, and he posted that he heard a rumor that Andy Rubin might be leaving Google for a startup in Los Altos. And as soon as he posted on G+, well, Andy actually responded. And I'm going to read you his response. How a rumor gets factualized. Cloud Car are a group of friends who I give free office space to in my incubator in Los Altos. Revel Touch, Mar Harrison's company, is another cool company that shares this space. I am not joining either one, and I don't have any plans to leave Google. See you on the 27th.
We'll see you, Andy Rubin.
He's not going anywhere. And then there's tons of comments in here. I was surprised to hear all of this going down. He also just took the opportunity to tell everybody that 900,000 new Android devices are now being activated
per day.
Why? He's so happy in that photo. Can't you see? 900,000.
I'm Andy.
I'm not leaving Google.
I did.
Don't.
I
just
helped
stop
make
with
Android
the
really big.
Look, you can post to Twitter.
Post to Twitter, please.
He really looks like he did not want to take that picture.
No. Oh, this poor guy.
That picture deserves like a caption contest, I think.
Oh, that's funny.
But
900,000 a day, not too difficult to believe that very, very soon that's going to reach
a million.
That's
because we were talking 700,000 a couple months ago, I think.
Yeah.
Every several couple months, it just keeps opening up. So there you go. Our leader is not leaving, and he said so on Twitter, on G+, everywhere, and he responded. So,
but if he was leaving and it's not public yet, isn't that what he would say?
I think we're just. he says we're going to see him on the 27th.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the 27th. Somebody at Google's sleeping on the job because they're letting me into this show. But Google I/O is coming, and both I will be there and Jason, you'll be there.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So
absolutely,
we'll be invading Google I/O. But it's super exciting because they announced the programming schedule. I for one was curious what the heck I was going to be doing at Google I/O, but luckily, and here on HelloAndroid.com, they've got a little post about it. And over on the Google I/O site, which is at developers.google.com/events/IO, they have the entire schedule, and there's an entire track dedicated to Android as well as Google TV.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the highlights, some of the things that I thought were interesting, if you are a developer and you're attending, or if you're a business person and you're planning on going to Google I/O, there's monetizing Android apps. Google Play Marketing 101 for developers. Another one that was interesting that I thought was worth talking about, multi-versioning Android user interfaces. Could that be addressing the tablet phone problem? Mm-hmm. You know, there you go. As well as a whole bunch of other great stuff. Google TV, get your content on Google TV.
Yeah, I imagine you're probably going to be going to a few of the
Google TV ones. Because I'm, you know, of course, the Android ones. I this is a conference where I'm actually going to be running around like a chicken with the head cut off, because a lot of the Android ones attracted me as someone who manages and works with developers.
Mm-hmm.
Google TV from a hobbyist standpoint. Google Plus from just a curiosity standpoint. So mm-hmm. This is going to be one of those ones where I'm going to make some tough decisions and we might have to divide and conquer. I don't know. We'll go over
yeah.
our schedule.
Well, even looking at the schedule, the Google TV, there's really only three sessions dedicated to Google TV.
You might as well go
They're
to
all
those.
On day two, Thursday.
The question really, though, is what is happening while those are going on?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I have yet to really kind of dig into every single one and kind of read up, because I'm not a developer. That's where going to something like this, for me at least, from my perspective, is a little bit more like, you know what, I'm going to go kind of see what the buzz is about and follow that maybe a little bit more, because
that's kind of what
some of this gets
like
a little bit too
we went to
some code-ish.
Of these, we went into some of those sessions that got really in-depth, and then I thought, oh, that's not where I should be. But out there,
you
know, there's
still nuggets from it.
Well, I mean, and the thing is, you never know what you could get. I mean, like,
exactly.
I've been to a lot of the Web 2.0 conferences, like the O'Reilly conferences, and I try to stick to the business and entrepreneurish kind of tracks and startups and things like that. And every now and then you see, like, integrating this thing in your thing, and it's like, oh cool, it's like when Air was first coming out. I remember going to a lot of sessions about Air and Adobe, and I'm like, oh, I'm curious about that, and literally sat there for an hour code reviews.
Yeah,
I'm like, this block of code does this, and now if we change this, and I was just like, oh, so okay, open up email, get to work, or you be that guy who tiptoes out of the panel once you realize that it's not what you want to do.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know. I'm excited. It's been a while since I've been at a hardcore tech conference, so I'm getting ready to dive right into it. So.
Cool.
Well, I'm stoked you're going to be there. I remember you made fun of me last year because you said
I was jealous.
Oh, were you just jealous?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Haven't
because you were like, God, you walked into there and it was like Candyland or something. I can't remember what you said to me. It was hilarious.
Hasn't the show proven
really?
Anything other than I have a huge jealousy and competitive streak? And you guys got in and I got denied.
Well, you guys are going in, and I don't know if I'm going this year. So there you go.
Well, I hope that you will. But as it stands right now, 2 out of 3 is better than none, which is where we were a couple months ago.
Yeah.
So. No, a couple months ago it was zero, right?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
It was zero.
Yeah.
But the big question that's on everybody's mind is, what's going to be under the chair? Is it going to be the tablet?
We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
I'm hoping it's either
the tablet
or the goggles.
It's the tablet.
It's got to be.
We've got some news in hardware. Well, okay, rumors in hardware along those lines. But yeah, everything's bubbling up to that right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But before we get there, a trial between Apple and Motorola Mobility regarding 4 patents, including Swipe to Unlock, that was one of them, was scheduled to begin today. Judge Richard A. Posner surprised everyone by announcing last week his tentative decision to dismiss the case based on a lack of evidence that either side's claims actually harmed the other party's bottom line. In other words, the claims of both sides, it's Apple and Motorola Mobility, of the case are to blame, and a prime example of what he says is part of, quote, a dysfunctional patent system. He will actually issue a formal opinion sometime this week. Kind of a big deal in the sense that Judge Posner is actually a big deal. So, you know, this kind of decision coming from his mouth carries a lot of weight. And also kind of in reading some of this stuff, there's a lot of other kind of talk amongst judges and people kind of, you know, overseeing these cases, where they realize in the court system that they're kind of being played right now in this kind of corporate game that doesn't necessarily...
you know, that doesn't necessarily prove that the patent wars are necessary, but rather just a tool for corporations to kind of, you know, play that game to their benefit.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is that, I mean, we all agree that the patent system is broken and has problems. But I think that even if they attempt to fix it, or even if the government ever applies any sort of way to do it, corporations and their lawyers are still going to figure out how to game it. I mean, it becomes this kind of, you know, vicious cycle that goes around, you know. So I don't know. I honestly don't know. This is a much bigger, you know, kind of economics and business and government. But I don't know if we could ever get to a point where that won't be happening, you know.
Totally.
Like, you know, the option to litigate is always going to be there, I think. So I don't know, we'll see.
Absolutely.
But it's interesting to see that little bit.
This very well could be, he might actually change his mind. He also said, like, it's possible that this week he comes back and he's like, you know, actually, but it kind of sounds
I reserve the right to change my mind.
But we'll see. It doesn't sound like that's going to happen.
All right. So that said, let's do an email.
Yeah.
So MJ writes in and says, hello, lovely Android experts. Lovely. We're lovely.
We're very lovely, yes.
I love I love listening to your show. We love you listening to it. I've had my HTC Evo 4G, my first Android phone, for about 6 months, and I love it. Very enthusiastic, this email. The one exception for my love being that the phone's internal storage keeps filling up way too fast. I have a 32 gig memory card where I store my photos and music and as many applications as I can. However, the vast majority of apps that I use regularly cannot be moved to the SD card. I've deleted all of the phone storage, only apps that I never use, besides the dreaded bloatware that cannot be deleted, and moved all that I can to the SD card. But my phone still is saying about twice a week that my storage is full. Then I'm forced to uninstall updates and or sacrifice another app that I like if I want to continue to receive emails on my phone. What else can I do? Please help. Thanks, MG. This can be maddening if you have this problem. The first and foremost thing is, and Eileen made the note here in our notes, clear your cache. Mm-hmm. If you use the web browser a lot, go in and clear, because a lot of times it will store that stuff, because it'll store graphics and images and things like that. You'd be surprised at how quickly that cache can get unruly.
Mm-hmm.
By unruly, I mean, like, you know, tens of megs. We're not talking gigs, but, you know, like, I wouldn't be surprised if you go and look and it's about a good 30 meg and that can clear some stuff up.
Yeah.
Another key thing is to really look at the apps that you use. Do you need that app? Do you need all those apps installed? I install so many apps, and just because I try them and I forget to uninstall them, and the next thing I know, I'm running out of space.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and he does say to his credit that he kind of did that. But it's really, you know, it's one thing to look at it and be like, oh, well, actually, I use that. I've done that so many times. And then over the course of like months, many months, I actually look at it. I'm like, well, I liked that app, but I never use it. Right. Really.
Exactly. And
always be there at the Play Store for you to get again if you decide
to
need it.
Yeah, two things to note there, too. I don't know if the HTC Evo 4G, is that on Ice Cream Sandwich? I can't remember my chart or whatever. But
Evo 4G, I don't believe it's Ice Cream Sandwich.
I don't think it is. Yeah. So you might want
to
find an app there's probably apps that do this that show you.
SD.
Yeah, that show you your usage pattern.
Oh, yeah.
And show you what apps you're using. I did that. So in Ice Cream Sandwich, in the settings, you can show you the percentage of usage of apps that you use. And if you look at it, it's the same five apps. I use Chrome, I use Twitter, I use Instagram, I use the phone, you know. And so beyond that, as far as I'm concerned, anything else can go. The other interesting thing to look for is games. Sometimes MJ didn't specify the specific apps that he or she is downloading, but a lot of times games can be really big and real space takers, and they might not be able to be moved to the SD card. So you might want to look to get some space there and look at what games are you really playing. Did you download that game once and it had, you know, a ton of graphics and
The Evo 4G has 1 gig. Well, no, is that right? Yeah, 1 gig of internal storage.
That's tight, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty tight. It's not nearly as tight as the Motorola Droid internal storage. I think it was 256 megs.
Was it 256? Yeah.
Something like that. And so I know exactly where you are. It was painful because it would not take long at all, and you felt like your kind of consumption of apps was limited, because it is.
My G1, this is way back in the day when I had the G1, that was constantly happening. I haven't run into it at all on the Galaxy Nexus, which is nice. Yeah.
And, you know, it also depends, too, if you are rooted. It kind of comes back to that. A lot of ROMs will allow you to force an app to move to SD card. Sometimes the app makers don't make it compatible to move to SD card, but in root, I believe only in root, maybe outside of root, you can select any app depending on the ROM that you're running.
I think it's important to also note where we just said, I kind of glossed over, but clear your cache. If you don't know how to clear your cache, go into your settings and look into your apps and look at the specific entry for the app. And what it will do in chat, I don't know if you can pull up my phone or not, and even though this will look slightly different than yours because you're not an ice cream sandwich, or what shoulder am I? There you go. You'll get a rundown of the amount of space that the total memory, that the total storage that the app takes, and then how much the physical app itself is taking, yeah, and how much its data is taking. So in this particular case, OneWeather, it's mainly the app is 5 meg, but that data is 124K. Yeah. So sometimes, and you see down here, see the cache is 6 meg. So if I clear that cache, I've just cleared out 6 meg worth of space. So that could be a big thing. Go look at every app. Twitter used to be a cache hog. Mm-hmm. There's some apps.
Official Twitter app or just all Twitter apps?
Official Twitter app. Mm-hmm. Although I imagine all Twitter apps, because what they do, and Foursquare used to be too, they luckily, like, these apps have gotten better, but what they used to do is they used to cache every user icon that you would see. And for somebody like me who follows 500 people on Twitter, that's 500 icons. And yes, each icon is only a couple of bytes, but that adds up.
Right.
Media.
Not to mention the messages.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which is really a byproduct of lazy programming. And that's why these apps are getting more and more streamlined, and they're putting in auto cache flushes and things like that that make it a little easier. But yeah, definitely go in your apps, look at the data that's stored and the cache, and see where you can clear from there. So
I'm going to clear 17.26 megs right now.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Here, look, I'll check out my Twitter app. I'll tell you how much is in there. It is currently right now, the Twitter app has got, oh, wow, only 16K of cash. But it's got 15 meg of data.
Uh-huh.
You see? There you go. Yeah.
Yep.
So currently right now, I don't know what that data is. If I clear data, whether it will forget my login or not, I'm not sure. That's just, you know, your mileage may vary. But yeah. But that's a good place to find some memory if you need it.
So. Hopefully that helps, MJ.
All right, cool. Let's take a quick break and thank our first sponsor of today's episode, Ford, featuring My Ford mobile smartphone app for electric vehicles. With My Ford mobile app, you can do a lot of things. It takes advantage of the value charging feature. It's powered by Microsoft. Based on your local utilities participation, it allows Ford customers to take advantage of off-peak and reduced rates from their utility without a complicated setup process. You can do things like use go times to precondition your vehicle's temperature before your departure, and that'll allow you to do, to basically save and conserve your battery energy. It monitors charging. You can get some alerts and find charging stations that are near you and plan out your drive according to that. Share and learn smart driving tips in forums, many forums on the MyFord mobile website. Gaming features such as leaderboards, unique achievements in social networks, gamification in effect right there.
I was in a Zipcar that had a game in the dash. Like, it was like,
oh, really?
Yeah, it was like a whole game section. It would tell you. Yeah, it was crazy. Sorry.
That would be interesting, especially when it comes to conserving gas, because it's like they challenge you to conserve
That's pretty much what it was.
And then maybe you get a discount next time or something. Yeah. That's not this, but there's an idea. Monitor how far you drive and how much CO2 you save by not using gas. The MyFord mobile app makes the electric driving experience fun and efficient. I guess it kind of is kind of like that. The 2012 Ford Focus Electric is available for purchase right now. If you want to check it out, you can learn more about Ford electric vehicle technologies at ford.com/technology. We thank you so much for supporting All About Android and the Greater Twit Network. There we go. All right. Without further ado, man, our hardware section is huge. Let's go.
Dude, my hardware section is huge.
Man. No, there's one more thing
full.
For that MJ question, that Web4815 notes in the chat room, which I was going to chime in and I forgot, but clear your SMS messages as well. That we talked about that a long time ago. Mm. That actually is
those add up. But for all of you digital hoarders out there, back them up because I've saved every text message I've sent since I've got on Android. So,
you do the same. There you go.
I don't know. All right. In case I get subpoenaed. I don't know why. Digital hoarder.
Sorry. I am. Let's start with the Galaxy S3. I have the international version in my hand. I've used it for the last couple days and I'm super psyched about it. Just a couple of specs to go through. It's 1.4 gigahertz Exynos. This is the quad core. I don't have the United States version with just the dual core, and it has 1 gig of RAM. The U.S. version will have 2 gigs. It is running Android 4.0 Ice Cream Sandwich. It's a 4.8 Super AMOLED screen with a 720 by 1280 pixel resolution. It is Pentile, but I got to tell you, it doesn't bug me one bit. And it's not like the Razer or the Razer Max. There's an 8 megapixel camera on the back and records 720p. It's Gorilla Glass. There is a 16 gig and a 32 gig available. Also available in, I think they just call it metallic blue. They changed it from pebble blue. I can't remember.
Oh, they changed the name.
I think they changed the name. Yeah. And there is a removable 2100 mega amp battery, and there is a micro SD slot. Lots of storage for someone like me who's a digital hoarder. But let me just show you some of the features here. So if I go to the lock screen,
there's no home button.
Yeah, there's no home button. Got the center button, the menu, and the back button. Now, if I do this and I turn it, the camera. That's how you unlock the camera. You can do it way. There's a bunch of little motion.
Is that the only way from the lock screen to get to the camera?
No, you can do it this way as well.
Just curious.
Yeah, there's many ways. I think I can do.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, like that.
Do you actually do the rotation like in daily use?
I've been
use?
Doing it lately just because it's available. There's a lot of things here. First of all, this does have NFC. Let me go through some other specs here, some more settings. It does have NFC, Android Beam, S Beam. That's where I get confused. I think S Beam is for Samsung devices and Android Beam is all Android, whoever. I don't know. But there's things that you could do like, from what I understand with Wi-Fi Direct here, you can share a photo automatically to other Samsung Galaxy S3 phones. I'm not sure if I could share one with you guys. So if I take a picture and you just hit share, it automatically shares that photo instantaneously with people in the room who has an S3. I have not tried that yet. Some of the stuff that's interesting is the motion options here, like direct call. When you have a contact on the screen, all you have to do is kind of just don't have to dial or hit any button, just put it up to your ear and it'll call that person. Other things like turn it, you know, just like Tasker stuff, you know, so turn it over and to mute and nobody can call me now at that point. Yeah, it's a very handy one. So at night, turn that off. No one will call. You won't hear it or anything like that.
That's innovative.
You know, the stay smart that keeps it on, it's fine. I think it's, you know, whatever, designed for humans. Okay, great. Now, this is interesting. Let's see if this works for me. It is screen grab, and you just kind of, there we go.
Yeah.
There we go. And then took a screenshot just by doing that little
motion. By waving your hand over the top
of it. Yeah, over the top of it.
So, wait a minute. How is it doing that? Is that just coming in from the camera? Like, or?
No, it's coming in from the motion, the touch.
Oh,
I'm touching it.
Are you touching it?
Oh, yeah.
I was watching the screen. I was like, how did it sense that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you're actually swiping the screen.
Yeah, so swiping right or left. They have some features here. So, okay, I'm going to play a video. And remember my app. Oops. Remember my app, Stick It? Well, they have that here. You just pop it, touch that button at the bottom right-hand corner, and there you go. And you can do other things, except for use the camera. You can just keep the video playing. And then a big screen like this, it's kind of nice, actually. I could see myself doing that. Oh, let me check email really quick so I don't miss the scene. I don't know why, but it's kind of cool.
Yeah,
I mean, I like Stick It, but they have their own. I thought the browser was going to be able to do that on this phone, but I guess not, at least not yet. So trying to remember all the kind of cool things about it. Obviously, Flipboard is already on board here, and it looks great. S-Voice. I did
Chapter
a little demo pre-show with S-Voice, and awesome. I'll try it right now. So S-Voice works, and it doesn't. What is the weather? Send it doesn't. Okay. Already having some issues.
Does not have a phone number in your contacts.
Yeah. I didn't ask you that.
Would you like to message?
Cancel. This is
Why are you doing an accent when you say cancel?
I don't know.
Cancel.
Cancel.
Sorry.
Stop.
Would you like to message?
Ron Richards.
Well, you have to wait for it to blink, though, right?
Yeah. No, you don't have to. Oh, see, now I messed up. This is just a great demo.
Like to message?
Okay, here we go. Ron Richards. This is already taking too long.
I found multiple Ron Richardses in your contacts.
Don't show the screen.
Would you like to text?
How many other Ron Richards do you know?
I have you twice on here. Send. This is taking too long. See how long the voice thing can be?
Yeah, but I think it's getting triggered because you're speaking before the blink or something.
just going to touch that. Sending message. This is taking too long. Okay,
I sent it. Oh, I got it. This is taking too much on the police.
All right.
That was kind of worth it right there.
I can't wait till this text message gets subpoenaed.
I don't know how long you guys want me to do a demo here, but honestly, it just doesn't. I will tell you that it will not open a ton of apps, just the apps that Samsung has put on here and Spotify. I love Spotify. It won't open Netflix. It won't open Path.
Yeah, it was very, very finicky about Netflix. It did not like Netflix.
It did send a tweet that I dictated on here.
Oh, I thought that you didn't intend.
No, I didn't intend. I said something like, I can't remember what I wrote or said. It was something like, you know, tweeting from the Samsung Galaxy S3, and it spelled out 3-T-H-R-E-E. I did make a calendar appointment. It did do well with weather. It set up my alarm. You know, basic stuff here. There's a whole list of items here that it does actually do well. And it can navigate. So I said directions to San Francisco, and it pulled that up really well. So there's things about it that kind of work. But quite honestly, it's kind of not ready for prime time yet. It's very frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, yet again, and we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, voice commands and everything are only... For me, anyways, I would only really use it if I knew it was pretty much bulletproof. You know what I mean? Yeah. If I even think that it's going to take me 2 to 3 times to get it to do the thing that I could do way quicker by just hitting the button, then I'm not going to use it.
Yeah.
I frustrated Tom saying, "Hello, Galaxy. Hello, Galaxy."
We were talking about pre-show, as someone who's prone to use his phone in the car.
That would work for you.
That would work very well to just say, "Text Eileen, I'm running late." Boom goes. I would use that.
Well, okay. You can.
I've been trying to utilize it.
So. Yeah, Vlingo allows you to do that. And you can program your wake up command as well with Vlingo.
I know what's important to people is the camera. I have to say, I had a better experience with the HTC One X for the camera in terms of quality. Mm-hmm. There have been varying reports. People will tell me, no, most of the people who reviewed the phone think this is the better camera. Okay. I'm just saying my cameras on the One X tend to be were better to me, but not too shabby. This is definitely a better camera than my S2 that I have here. So I was pleased with the camera, and it's decent. It doesn't do as much in-camera editing like the HTC One X with all those filters and really cool things that you may not have to use Instagram for or whatever, but maybe you don't care about that. But I have to say overall, and it does the face recognition here, so you can kind of tap it, and then every time, I guess a photo, see, it's me. That's me.
Oh.
Yeah. So overall, I have to say really happy. I got used to the size. I did a lot of one-handed typing on here.
To force your fingers to kind of get used to.
Yeah, and then I do a lot of here's my hand. If you're watching video, then I kind of move up to go to notifications, which is kind of a pain. I don't like that, but
you get used to that kind of thing.
You get used to that, yeah, but the screen is gorgeous. I'm loving it. The audio that comes out of this is pretty decent, I have to say. There's the speakers right... speakers right there. At the top of the phone.
I can't do that as a man.
You can't, what? Oh, I had to, learn how to move my hand up and do that. I was like.
It's like your hand's doing the worm up the.
Yeah, well, yeah, no, it's kind of like people who flip the pen in their fingers. Yes. I can't do that either. Yeah.
So overall, I had a really decent experience. I've only had it for about, 72 hours? So it's a pretty safe bet. I'm probably going to get the Verizon version.
The thing I noticed immediately when I.
Yes. Okay. So the one bad thing about the hardware itself is the glossy back here. Can't tell. It's
Which is
really
very nice to look nice, at.
But it's super slippery. And you can see on my S2, there's a little bit of, you know,
grip
here. And even on the Note that I have here, a little grip here, which is nice. This one is straight gloss. And I could see how...
Just sliding out of your hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially when it's a big phone like that.
Yeah.
You know, and you're trying to extend. I have it every once in a while with this phone where I have this like pinky under the phone to catch it that I have to do. Otherwise, if I'm like that, every once in a while it'll slide out when I'm trying to reach the top of it. And I imagine that would be way more susceptible because of the slipperiness of the back.
Yeah. But I haven't dropped it yet, so I think I'm okay.
Yeah.
Very, very happy.
72 hours.
Yeah, 72 hours. haven't dropped it yet for 72 hours. So big news, this phone is going to be available on a lot of carriers, on AT&T, Verizon, Sprint, T-Mobile, and U.S. Cellular. AT&T, by the way, they're only going to offer a 16 gig version, but they're going to give you white, blue, and red, a special Ooh. Red version. Hmm. Every other carrier will give you a 16 or 32 gig option, and the prices are ranging between $199 to $249 based on whatever whatever size phone you want. And LTE. Now, again, this is going to be a dual core phone for the United States. I think, and there's an article here from Jessica Dolcourt. I quad core versus the LTE and dual core. I don't really think it matters. This is pretty super fast, but knowing that I've used a dual core LTE phone, those are pretty darn fast as well, and they're almost...
Well, and you've got the 2 gigs really of RAM close. Coming to the US
exactly.
one.
Exactly.
Jessica Dolcourt at CNET wrote an excellent article about, it has a dual core processor, the US version, and why you shouldn't care. And just to kind of summarize a small part of it, she says the Exynos 4 quad core processor is application only and doesn't bundle the LTE radios, requiring extra components that result in battery size, battery drain, physical design trade-offs. The Snapdragon S4 processor in the US version, the dual core, fits all of that into one unit, not to mention the performance benefits like we were talking about of double memory versus the international version. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that was my initial knee-jerk reaction was, oh, no quad core, and immediately, a lot of people on Twitter and on Google Plus, were hitting me back, and we're kind of talking about it, and I was like, okay, I think I get that now. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a side of kind of hardware specs that I didn't quite understand beforehand, and I'm still learning all this stuff, but that makes perfect sense that the trade-offs would be well enough. There's something that I'll talk about here in a little bit that also kind of ties into this regarding kind of multiple core functionality in Android.
Exactly.
It kind of plays into this as well.
Just a couple other news items with the S3. Dropbox confirms that the S3 on AT&T and Verizon will not reap the 50 gig reward that I guess the others will possibly have. It's funny because when I first turned this international version on, I got the option. Do you want to sign in and get 50 gigs of extra space?
Oh, so you did get it on internet.
Yes, please.
Did it speak it to you?
Yes, it really? Did. It spoke it to me, and I said, yes. I nodded in my head, yes. And also, Samsung is holding an event on June 20th for the S3 for press to see... what's up with the U.S. versions?
The importance or the kind of significance around the fact that the S3 is the same on all carriers. That's big.
That's big.
Huge.
That's awesome. Yes. I was so happy when I heard about that because we talked about it on the show even before and they'll never do that. And of course they ended up doing it, but that's exactly, Samsung pretty much has a slam dunk right here because of the mind share around the S line, just in the Android world in general, and then releasing the same device throughout multiple carriers.
To win.
They're going to be able to create kind of a unified hardware unified hardware in the minds of everybody.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Exactly. I mean, it's a good lesson in branding.
Absolutely.
And I'm curious, I'd be really interested to see what that negotiations were like, whether Verizon pushed back, because the carriers all want their unique, their flavor. And so it's interesting to see that they were able to break through that. So
super excited. And I believe I will be pre-ordering this phone very soon. I don't want to pre-order. I'm just going to walk into the store and get it.
Cool. Why wait?
Yeah. Explain it. Just surprise yourself one day.
I'm going to Verizon.
Yeah.
See ya. It turns out my contract is over on June 24th.
Oh, perfect. AT&T now?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Oh, yeah, I'm AT&T.
So you don't want to play the game? You don't want to go on AT&T and be like...
I don't want an AT&T phone because they only have 16 gig. I want the 32.
And sometimes playing the game, it's just so exhausting to even think about playing that game.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. I hate playing that corporate
game. Thank you, AT&T.
If I can avoid it.
Well, maybe you should play the game on the other side and get Verizon to woo you over. Be like, I'm on the fence. Okay. What can you do to...
I could try.
Yeah, do that. Yeah.
Okay, maybe I will. We'll see.
Let's play the Asus game.
You
want to
do that for me?
Oh, I'm great at it.
Maybe Ron can do it.
I'm better on the phone.
Eileen.
See, here are the scenarios. I'm better on the phone, and I don't mean this in any other way, but I'm better with a woman. No, I'm serious. If I get a male salesperson or something like that, I'll walk away. I'll come back later on. I'll try to get a female salesperson.
Okay, Ron, you're going with me to the store.
Sure.
Yeah. All right, awesome. Done.
You get a little flirt on it.
Okay.
Got it.
Yeah. I see. Yeah. All right, well, the Asus game. I'm about to round up the Asus
news
here. So first of all,
Computex happened. ASUS Transformer AIO. It's an all-in-one desktop PC powered by an Intel Ivy Bridge processor, and it runs Windows 8 when docked.
Sexy.
Isn't that nice? But when it's removed from the base, it becomes an 18.4-inch tablet capable of booting into, get ready for it, ice cream sandwich.
It truly is a Transformer.
Even sexier. Yes.
Does it make that junk noise?
Yeah. Yeah, it makes the old school Transformer noise, thankfully. Pretty sweet stuff.
Mm-hmm. That is cool.
Like that.
I think that's very cool.
Would you ever have it running Windows 8?
Sorry.
Yeah. Maybe.
Of course.
I mean, we'll see how Windows 8 develops.
Right, true, yeah. That's a big tablet.
Yeah, it is.
That's awesome.
I thought the tablet that I have here in the studio is big. Dear. That thing's like ridiculously big. Right. ASUS just really loves to do the mashup thing. You remember the Pad phone? That's the tablet and the phone, and they kind of they connect
still
together.
Wait, what do they do?
Get your Pad phone, the phone that docks into a tablet for a measly $859.50 in the U.S. It's an imported international version courtesy of Negri Electronics, and will likely be less expensive when it's released stateside. So if you can wait, do, but early adopters can act now. $859.50.
Oh, I heard you'd like phones, so I put a phone in your tablet so you can use the phone.
It's interesting. I really want to see that. I hope that we are able to get one of those in for before you buy, just to kind of play around with it.
Cool.
See how gimmicky it actually is.
Not as much as the next thing.
All right, so Google Tablet Watch. There have been a few pieces of information that have leaked, supposedly, to the press, so we'll just round those out here.
Oh, Google Tablet Watch.
What did you think? Oh,
I thought there was a Google Tablet Watch.
No,
oh,
no.
Me too.
Oh,
I didn't read it well.
Oh, it's
wow,
Google
okay.
Tablet. It's Google Tablet Watch.
Yes.
Not the Google Tablet Watch.
It's the Google Tablet Watch segment. Okay, sorry.
It's going to be a Google Tablet
we
Watch.
Lose. Okay.
No, that wow.
We've made a ton of fun of Scoop. The Sony Watch, because we were talking about the Sony Watch earlier.
I thought this was our thing now. We covered Android-powered watches.
Hilarious. No, that isn't what I meant.
Whoopsie.
I wrote that in there. I didn't even think about the other way that could be perceived.
Words are funny.
Yeah, they are. All right, so the tablet. That's what we're talking about, is the tablet, not the watch. Press images of the Nexus 7 tablet leaked, apparently. And so you can take a look at that and see kind of what is being purported to be the tablet. It's kind of got a...
Looks like this.
Yeah, I was going to say, it looks
square.
Like Galaxy S3.
Yeah,
Galaxy
S,
strange.
Seriously.
We doesn't have no like idea if this is actually what it's going to look
square.
Like. Yeah, a little bit more square. It's more like the S3 Note.
Yeah.
It's like a mashup of
the
S3
note.
And the
here's
Note.
The note. Yeah, like that.
But it is a white note.
Have it on a white note.
But a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
Oh. There we go. Yeah.
Just 2 more inches.
There we go. Also, let's see here. Also, an ASUS representative who wished to remain anonymous told Android Authority during Computex that the Google tablet will come by the end of June, which if we think even, you know, just a little harder, then we'll realize that that's I.O.
Right.
Google I.O.
And look under your chair.
That kind of makes a lot of sense. And finally, Google's tablet might benefit from magazine subscriptions, something that the iPad, I think, didn't have subscriptions initially, right?
The iPad has not had magazine subscriptions until last October.
Okay.
So,
and they've been a big
They've been a thing. They haven't
totally
blown up, I think, as much as they thought they would. But you might, if you're an iPad user, you might notice that several of your magazine subscriptions have moved over to the iOS newsstand.
I see.
So, yeah.
So, cool stuff. I'm really looking forward to finding out about this tablet. The price, it's just the price alone, $150 to $200, just seems totally ridiculously unbelievable.
Yep.
Like, I have a hard time believing it. I'll believe it when I see it. But
I mean,
if
that
so,
I can
man,
afford
that,
without going to I.O.
That's, that's
seriously.
Great. Yeah,
I'm like,
no,
oh,
totally.
It's only $250, fine.
Totally.
And you guys tell me if it's worth it, and then maybe I'll buy it.
And I totally broke my wife's Kindle Fire, so I'll be buying one of those for
you. You broke your wife's Kindle Fire?
Oh, it's done. Yeah, it's in pieces on the desk
don't
over
seriously?
There.
Come near mine.
Oh, it's
I'm
done.
I'm going to put mine away
really?
From Jason.
Yeah.
You drop it?
No. I thought I was smarter than it, and apparently I wasn't. So, Ron, Google TV.
I hope you've learned your lesson.
Kindle Fire broke
us.
Jason.
Yes. Anyways, yes, so on Google TV Watch, last week an update...
Watch.
Last week, an update rolled out that many Google TV folks noticed before it actually rolled out. I think it rolled out a little earlier than planned because I saw it pop up on the blogs, like here on Android Police, before they actually acknowledged it. But Sony devices and Logitech devices get Google TV version 2.1.1, which is basically Honeycomb 3.2. A little difference there. The Logitech reviews upgraded to Honeycomb 3.2, while as the Google TV devices like my Sony Blu-ray got the Google TV version 2.1.1. And the big kind of driver for this update was that they added YouTube.com/movies, as well as the ability to rent and play movies rented via Google Play. So the TV and movies app basically updated to get a movie rental ability. So it's interesting that they're slowly making little updates here and there, and it's interesting that they're collapsing it more into Google Play market, and they're focusing more on on-demand video. Very interesting to see it evolve. I'll be curious to see how long the separate YouTube and Google TV kind of experience lives, mm-hmm. and whether or not they start pushing that closer. Although I got to say, I have been loving the YouTube app on Google TV. I've been using. I subscribe to Zay Frank's show. I subscribe to My Drunk Kitchen. And I've been favoriting things and making my own little playlists. So yeah.
Nice. Cool. You're all over it.
Yeah. So I do it on the desktop, and then I go on the TV and I watch it. So,
nice.
Yeah. So the little update on Google TV world. So there you go.
Sweet. Awesome. Well, I have right here, it's a little bit out of the screen, but check out this thing. It looks like a laptop. It looks like it all could almost be a laptop. It
looks like a speaker.
But it's not. It's a tablet. It's the Toshiba Excite 13. I don't know where my camera is for chat.
That might be the biggest tablet I've ever
seen.
Yeah,
it's so big I can't even fit it into the camera.
That's enormous.
It is. It's enormous. It's a 13.3-inch display. The thing is gigantic. It's 2.2 pounds, Tegra 3 quad-core processor with 1 gig of RAM, has a full-size SD slot. It has four speakers, actually, two on the bottom, two on the top, or two on the sides, I believe. But where are the other two speakers? Maybe they're in the back. I don't know. I get lost on this thing. It's so big. full-size SD card slot, HDMI, USB. The thing's just a massive behemoth. And I don't know. It's Wi-Fi only. I've been playing around with it for the weekend, basically. I'm going to review it for Before You Buy at the end of this week. And I guess, you know, it's good for like media consumption type things. I think Toshiba really means for this to be your at-the-house only tablet. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're probably not going to throw this in your backpack. I guess you could because it's the same size as many laptops, actually. But it just feels kind of fragile in that regard. You know what I mean? It's a single plate of glass and it's really big. So I don't know, something like I threw it in my tablet sleeve on my backpack. Here you go, Chad. The other day, and it, you know, kind of fit in there. And when I got here to work, I was like, man, I don't think I'm going to do that again. It just felt wrong. Like it extended a little too far. So it doesn't fit into, you know, normal tablet kind of accessories and stuff.
Can we see the keyboard?
Sure. Let's see here. Go into the browser. It's reasonably quick. It's a quad-core processor, but I got to say, like, there were times where... There you go.
Oh, it's huge.
Yeah, it's huge. It's like, I can't show you my keyboard, but the keys are actually spaced out very similarly to my laptop keyboard. So, like, if you're holding this up, it's 2.2 pounds. It gets heavy. It feels light at first, but then it gets heavy pretty quick. But I found putting this on my lap and typing emails in landscape mode was awesome.
Really?
Like I could fly.
Wow. Yeah,
it was very enjoyable to type in that regard. But yeah, they're intending it for it to be your at the home kind of tablet. It has this little stand with it.
I like that it comes with a stand because normally that's more expensive. You know, charge you another $40 for a stand.
There is no easy way to do
it. You need
there's a stand.
the other way, right?
Yeah, so this is the way that sets it down flat. And then you can do this. And this, like, props it up. Yeah. So you could have that in the kitchen and, you know, exactly. Maybe have the recipes on it and everything. So in that regard, it's cool.
That's cool.
Where it gets you is the price. It's $650. It's Wi-Fi only. 32 gigs of storage on the $650. Or $750 for 64 gigs. Mm. I don't know. It's not the tablet for me. It's just a little too big for what I want out of a tablet. Yeah, totally. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and actually, I'm sure looking at comics on that thing would be pretty sweet.
Yeah, no, comics, magazines, RSS mm-hmm. feeds, all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
So how does the video and, you know, photos scale? Like if you move some of your photos or videos or
I noticed
Netflix?
If it's 16:9,
display. Mm-hmm. I noticed that if the video is 16:9, looks pretty good. Mm-hmm. If it's outside of that, it has to scale kind of within the device. Doesn't always look so great. And I can't tell. You're going to watch some Sesame Street, huh?
We're going to watch some Curious George.
Oh, okay. Good. My daughter would be very happy about that choice.
we're simpatico on that one.
But yeah, I mean, you know, it's a good media consumption. I watched a little bit of Firefly. I'm starting to watch that.
Good pick. Good choice.
I haven't seen that yet, so I started that. And yeah, you know, it looks pretty good. But there were some other videos that weren't quite 16:9. And when it's doing its scaling, it kind of breaks up a little bit. But overall, you know, I'm sure I'll give it a try. It's definitely a try. The size and the form factor.
It's heavy.
It gets heavy pretty quick.
A couple minutes, it kicks in.
Yeah, totally. And speaking of the quad core, just really quick, because I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but there was an article on PC World today that we actually covered on All About Android, where Bell, who is it's Mike Bell, is general manager of Intel's Mobile and Communications Group, is essentially saying that Android, and particularly Ice Cream Sandwich, suffers from problems when threading using the dual core processors on Android. And so basically, you know, Intel has a lot to gain from this. Mm-hmm. They're coming out with their, you know, their processors, and they, you know, probably think that they have the kind of stats to back up the fact that theirs are better than anything else. But I thought it was an interesting kind of side note to bring up with the three of you. We've tested a decent amount of devices, mm-hmm. and, you know, from single core to dual core, and now I've spent time with this quad core. Would you absolutely say without a doubt that that you notice performance boosts when using multiple core devices, or could it be explained as a placebo effect?
Dual to quad, maybe not, but single? Oh, yeah.
Single to dual? Single or to dual could it be a matter of better memory or better hardware and other
factors? That's the thing, is that it's never just one thing. There's all these different levers to pull, whether in terms of available memory, the number of cores, you know, your data connection. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the phone could be running great and you're on a slow data connection and it's going to look like it's running slow. I don't think I've noticed a difference between dual to quad core, although I don't think I haven't played with as many quad core devices as you guys have.
This is the first quad core device that I've even spent any significant time with. So,
that's a good question. I don't know. Yeah. I don't think it's a placebo effect, but I think that it's a factor in a larger equation.
Yeah. It's probably pretty impossible to say this is faster and it's because of the dual core or it's because of the quad core. But like I said, this has quad core and I don't know. There are times when I'm using it, I'm like, okay, this is kind of laggy.
I never felt that way with the Transformers, the Prime or the Pad. I thought they were pretty snappy.
Yeah.
And both of those are quad core. But
cool. All right, let's move on to an email.
Okay, I guess that is me. This is from Joseph. I was already ready to go to apps. I was from Joseph. I was just listening to your show, episode 62, and thought you needed to know that the voice recognition, here we go with voice recognition, is mainly for us Bluetooth users. Okay, if you have a headset, I know you are dead set against, I'm not dead set, but I don't really use one. All you have to do is hit a little button on your headset and state a command. I never have to touch the phone mounted on my dash. Love Velcro, LOL. I know you all hate accessories. I don't know that we all hate accessories, do we?
I don't think we've ever said we hate accessories. That is not an accurate statement.
Yeah. No, I don't know.
Mr. Joseph.
Have we really said that?
I've never said I hate it. We hate the watch.
Yeah, we said we don't like that watch. Now we're labeled accessories. Yeah. But with the A2DP headset and the Sony watch, you don't need to pull out your phone.
I didn't even know. I didn't read ahead. I swear to God.
You don't need to pull out your phone almost ever. For Uber geeks, this is the best. That's what Joseph thinks. And I like getting comments and, you know, about that from our listeners as well.
Yeah, so. I've never played with an A2DP headset. I've never had a Bluetooth thing. I've never done that thing. I just always felt like it's just a little more expensive than I can justify. You know, I don't drive as much and all that other thing. Mm-hmm. But I'm not anti-accessories. Somebody had a good... If I could get a good set of wireless headphones that also are a Bluetooth thingy, mm-hmm. I would totally... If someone knows that, I would totally wear it. I would mm-hmm. totally do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've been using an accessory the last couple of weeks. Yeah. Yes.
You've been using the watch, huh?
The Wim watch. And this is another review that we're finally going to get on before you buy.
I thought we lost it.
Yeah, no. I still have it, and I've been meaning to review it, and I've been wearing it the last couple of weeks and preparing to be like, oh, I just don't like wearing a watch. Strangely, it's actually very, like, cool. I find it very useful. Once you finally get it syncing and everything properly, you know, a message comes in and you're driving. Oh, okay. You know, it's just right in front of you. I don't know. It has many, many benefits. It's maybe not the most fully featured watch, but it's still pretty cool. All right, let's speed through apps because we got a lot to cover here in a half an hour.
Do it.
Hey, surprise! Instapaper for Android released last week. And for months, Marco Arment said, no, not going to develop for Android, not going to do it. But as a quote that he gave to Engadget, he said, the creator of Instapaper, Marco Arment, said, I think it was the success of the Kindle Fire and the Nook that tipped my hand. So he entrusted the Instapaper name to developer Mobilux, which has previously built Tumblr for iPhone and Android, as well as Carousel, a handsome Instagram viewer for Mac. And we've got it. It's $2.99. I have it on my phone here. And it just basically does the basics here. So this is my Instapaper account. You can, you know, see all the, I've got it in night mode right now, but all your articles come up here when I tap in.
So wait, it said read it later up at the top? Is that?
Right, but that's, it's
read
sort of
later.
Read later.
Oh, okay. Read it later. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, all right. I got you.
Yeah. Right. So it's available now. You can add folders. You can, you know, edit some stuff. It does basic stuff. It's not, I don't know. If you use Instapaper, there's a lot more things that you could do on the website, and I think the iOS as well. But it's out now, and it's actually available also on the Kindle Fire as well. I didn't buy it there. I think tablets as well. So I don't know. Are you guys Instapaper fans?
I was. I've kind of fallen off.
You know, I love, I mean, not to diss Instapaper, but I really love Pocket. So I've been using that quite a bit.
I love Pocket. That's the thing. I'm glad that they did it because you're allowed to change your mind.
Mm-hmm.
But like outsourcing it, like I feel like is a little bit of a, and admittedly Mobilux is a good, you know, they did the Tumblr app and they did this Carousel thing. But it's like how much of the true Instapaper vision still gets carried over to the app.
Mm-hmm.
And I always get a little worried because like how are they going to maintain it? Are they going to keep it updated?
Right.
You know, and that sort of
thing.
So for now, I think Pocket is slightly a little better in terms of design. I agree.
In terms of design.
Yep.
But, I have no interest in Instapaper because I'm perfectly satisfied with Pocket. I should check out Instapaper just to make an informed decision, but I really like Pocket.
Yeah.
I feel like they've been doing it for a while on Android, okay. So why not?
Yeah. No problem.
Google Maps and navigation is about to get even better. Now, I guess we should first acknowledge today was a WWDC announcement.
Oh, is there something going on?
There was a little bit of something going on in the Apple world.
WWDC free, but we can't not be.
Well, because when I initially was reading this morning before the announcement, I forgot that Maps was going to be part of that announcement.
And
I was like, you know, Google Maps and navigation is Android's signature, you know, one of their signature apps. And sure enough, Apple now has something similar. They're not using Google Maps, but they have something similar. So they've kind of caught up to a large degree to one of the key features that Android had over iOS. But they're about to improve it even further than what iOS actually has. Offline Maps is about to finally make its appearance. That will allow you to cache the maps for a particular location for use when you might not have data connectivity. There have been a number of ways to do this using other apps in Android, but it's nice to get this built into Google Maps specifically. You simply select the region that you want to store, and the app will tell you how much space is needed for those files and store it directly on your device. I'm really looking forward to this. This has been on my wish list for a couple of years, so that'll be cool. Can't wait to see it. It's not rolled out yet, but it will be soon.
So in some curious and possibly negative news for Google, Sprint apparently is working on a Google Wallet alternative, which is curious considering Sprint is the only carrier that Google Wallet works on or comes with. Rumors are bubbling to the point that Sprint is preparing to launch their own NFC offering called Touch sometime this summer, pitting them against Google Wallet and Isis, among others. Google Wallet launched last September and was first to market in the digital wallet space, but hasn't captured much momentum. Sprint is currently the only service offering for Google Wallet, so this would be quite the hurdle. Yes, it's very curious. I guess we'll see as it develops.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, yet another fun...
Strange.
Yeah, fun little thing. Just a few quick mentions. Google, Quick Office.
Yeah. I can't even open. Sorry, I didn't see this, honestly.
No, it's
Google
it's okay.
acquires Quick
Office.
We can
even just mention these.
And that article. There he is. Breaking. Google acquires Quick Office. Let the productivity wars begin.
I just think this is a really good thing for anyone who uses Google Drive, formerly known as Google Docs, which we use it all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And one thing that really needs to happen, and I so hope this is part of this, is easier editing on mobile of your docs. Because editing a spreadsheet on my phone, I'd rather take a bullet in the head. Yeah. Also,
He's just kidding.
Everyone.
Oh, gosh.
Wish I'd have never said that. Yeah. Also, we talked about a chameleon home screen.
Yeah, that was
a while back.
Episode.
It was a Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. Turns out they made the amount, but it's canceled. This has got to suck for them. I have to imagine that because they have to start over. I guess the person that the Kickstarter account, their Amazon account was tied to it, that person no longer works with Chameleon.
Jesus.
So it can't be transferred into another person's name. It just it goes against the terms of use with Kickstarter. So their only recourse is to cancel what they already want, you know, what they already met.
Well,
no one gets charged.
Right.
So anybody that pledged
just chips back in. So
yeah, but you know what? You lose a little bit of momentum potentially. Not every single person that noticed it before is going to do it again.
Well, I think you can message people too through the Kickstarter platform.
And so, you know, it probably doesn't spell doom, but it's got to suck to have all of that momentum on your side and have it not come to fruition. But maybe we'll see an update soon.
Cool.
All right, we are going to take a quick break, right?
Let's do it.
I thought you were about to say something. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to thank our sponsor, Audible, audiblepodcast.com/android. Thank you for sponsoring our show, All About Android. Audible.com is a leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, periodicals. For listeners of our show, All About Android, Audible is offering a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their service. One audiobook you may consider downloading. I am about to read World War Z, and I know that's a movie that's being rewritten now.
Yes.
They've been in production, so Mr. Damon Lindelof, who did Prometheus, is now attached to this title.
Well, I think he did Star Trek.
No,
he did
Star Trek and Lost But it's just the thing that just popped up in my head. So I'm going to start reading that. I have tons and tons of books on my Audible, like Mindy Kaling's autobiography. And I think last time I talked about Molly Ringwald's autobiography. And here's the app, which is fantastic because it loads your... Look at my whole library is in here. Oh, there it is, World War Z. I'm going to start listening to that. And, you know, the updates for the app itself, there's speed. So I listen to mine. I don't know. My books, I listen about 1.5.
Oh, man. No, I keep normal speed.
I know. It doesn't work with certain people. Like when I started reading Bill Clinton's, I need to hear his southern drawl.
His diction,
I don't need to hear it in high pitch. But I did speed up Will Wheaton a little bit. It didn't hurt for Ready Player One. This is a great app that I think... it has, you know, awesome stats and, boy, am I still a newbie on this thing? I listen in so many different places and badges and things like that. And you could shop and, you know.
If anyone was a fan of NBC at the height of kind of its reign of must-see TV time, this is, I don't know why I was compelled to do this, but it's been a really good listen so far. Warren Littlefield, who is the NBC president of entertainment, did Top of the Rock, Inside the Rise and Fall of Must-See TV. And it's an unabridged audiobook. It's about 9 hours. And it's cool to kind of experience some of that stuff again that I just haven't thought about for years.
I actually read an excerpt in Vanity Fair and thought, I got to get this book. Now I'm really psyched to hear that it's on Audible because the excerpt that I read was about the beginnings of Friends and how they got all of those stars before they were stars to be involved in the show and how Jennifer Aniston had to cry out of her CBS contract to get into to do the Friends pilot and all this stuff. It was fascinating. So I'm sure this is going to be fascinating.
You might want to note, if you pull that back up, it is narrated by none other than Bob Balaban, who might be known from the Christopher Guest movies. He's the short guy with glasses and bald, and he also played the NBC executive in the Seinfeld episodes.
Oh, really?
Interesting.
I literally bumped
into him last week at the Book Expo America conference in New York City by accident because he was there signing books, and he's a notable book kind of personality,
cool.
And he's a great actor. So you get good narration as well because he is awesome. He's got very good diction.
Well, there you go. I think we gave you a ton of different selections there to download that audiobook or whatever we had just talked about for free or another one of your choice. Go to audiblepodcast.com/android. That's audiblepodcast.com/android. Thank you for your support of our show. We love Audible. Well,
thank you very much for your support. All right, let's battle.
Two enter, one lives. Android Arena.
I couldn't tell you exactly what that's from.
All of a sudden you have an accent.
Well, yes, it's a very particular memory I have from being a kid. It was a TV commercial. I want to say it was Bartles and James. But
oh, really?
Okay. It was something. Yeah, who knows? Wow, that's what you get when you jump into my brain. All right, so two weeks ago, we had a poll.
Destroyed.
Wow, I guess so.
Productivity.
There were a lot of votes this time, and I don't know if it was because...
I feel like I used to do a lot of productivity apps, and then they lost all the time to the games, so I switched over to the games, and yeah.
You know what? You're it's following a different season, yeah. a different time.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
That said, those who do play Panic Flight, I have been doing nothing but playing Panic Flight.
Oh.
Yeah, it is... Yeah, so...
All right.
It's a good game.
Well, yeah, I should look be like going first, right?
Tasks at 69%, Panic Flight second at 21%, Tree Maker at 10%. There were a lot of votes, probably more votes than I've seen.
I think because we had two weeks, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe we should only do the arena every 2 weeks.
I know, right? Just to goose those vote numbers. But this week, we have three new apps to feature, starting
Eileen
first.
With Eileen. Because she right. lost.
Yes.
I did. Nobody Lose likes a... trees. Nobody so, likes fun games. All right. No, I don't really care anymore.
Oh, so the Tech Ace just checked in the chat room with the polls, and currently me and guests are tied for last with four wins. Eileen, you've got six wins. Jason's got seven wins.
Yeah.
So there you go.
All right. Well, let us begin. My app, I have to say, when you get a phone for 36-72 hours, really all I want to do is play with the phone. I could care less for an app. But I did found a really cool app that I thought was interesting that overlays on your launcher. It is called Relaunch, and it's free. And basically what Relaunch does, it categorizes all of your apps. So think about it. If you don't use folders, and what this will do is it will kind of make folders for you in an interesting way on the side of your screen. So let me show you how this shows up. Now I've got it activated on my phone. So when I swipe left or right, you see this? They've got, they categorize all your apps. It takes about a minute to do so. So here's Talk. What's interesting is the categorization. What I would love for the developers to do at Relaunch is allow me to change what it says.
Totally.
They don't do that yet. It's free. Maybe they will in an update or whatnot. So here's all my Talk apps. So this includes, you know, your phone app, Twitter because you talk, Turntable because there's chat on there, I guess. I don't know. It's kind of interesting.
Talk seems more like social.
It does seem more like social. But when you turn on the manually move apps, you can move apps into a different category. So I'm going to go through each category. Play, which is fun games or entertainment,
Netflix,
I guess.
Video.
You play videos,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
I don't know. Work, more productivity. So I've got my favorite task Wunderlist, and then there's Dropbox and stuff like that. Again, you know, it categorizes stuff, but you could change that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Seek, which I guess is travel, like you're looking, and then navigation, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Open Table?
Yeah, Open Table. You're looking for...
Yeah, search,
you know, it's kind of makes sense, right? You kind of look at it and you question it and go, wait a minute, I think it makes sense. You can also make these icons larger if you like. Relax. Apparently BitTorrent. I downloaded the new BitTorrent app. That is for relaxation, everybody. along with Winamp and music.
So music is in relax and not play?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. You can move it again, but it's interesting how they categorize the setup. So I've got Tasker in here. Looks like the Play Store is in here. Lookout.
Search.
Yeah, stuff like that. Live. Live.
Or
Groupon.
Live.
Or Lot. Well, it's Live.
Live.
Yeah,
it must be Live.
Because Groupon and my running app and Square, things that you use to buy items. Okay, now we get to Read. So earlier, Flipboard was not in Read. I moved that, actually.
Where was it in?
So it was in a category I don't quite understand called Lost. And so I thought Lost
everything
is
else.
Kind of, yeah, I feel like everything else falls in here. I thought Lost was kind of what, you know, Seek would be, right? Mm. Like navigation or whatnot. But they've got Calculator and the radio, which wouldn't that be
just
Play?
They just don't know where to put it.
Yeah, I guess not. So what if I just move the radio? If you just long tap, then you can move it. Oh, see, now I got to do that. can launch. Oops. Yeah, it gets a little launching that. You can just kind of like drag the app into a different area if it will drag for us. I swear it drags. Come on. Come on. Well, let's just move calculator. Oh, dang it. I swear it drags. I promise you it drags.
Sure, we believe you.
But you could do it on the left and the right hand side.
So is it just a hotspot? Is that how it comes up? It senses you. Do you ever pull this up when you don't intend to?
Sometimes you do.
Yeah.
So what I want to do now is make sure I only have it on the left side, because when I'm typing a lot on the button, you can calibrate. You can, in preferences, you can kind of move things.
So there's cool preferences. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm going to get rid of it on the right-hand side, because what I've been noticing when I have it on the right-hand side pulling, when I have the typing enters on this side, and so that kind of happens every once in a while. Yep. It's just an interesting way. Oh, here, and I can just actually change the color as well. I wanted to change each icon, but you can't. You can only change all of them. That's another thing I'd like them to change. So I'm giving you some tips here, relauncher people. But there, manually categorized. You can do haptic feedback. You can do notifications and whatnot. If you're not into doing folders, maybe this is a way you can kind of organize your apps and whatnot. But oh, there. See, now I'm moving. I'm moving Amazon. Cool. I'm going to put it in. Let's just put it in play, because I'm going to play music. Now Amazon MP3 categorized in play. That's my app. It's free. There is a paid version if you want to donate to the app developers, but it's really simple and easy. I thought it was an interesting experiment, at least, and it overlays on top of your current launcher, so it doesn't matter what launcher you have. This should work over it on the sides of your phone screen. So there you go. Relaunch, and it's free.
It's a neat one.
Yeah.
Awesome. So mine is similar in topic, I think, in terms of how you use your phone, but it's very specific. I know we were very excited when copy and paste came to phones, and it was this whole kind of very cool. Mm-hmm. For me, copy and paste has been an excruciatingly annoying existence on my phone, between using the little arrows to expand when you want to copy and paste. But I was somewhat delighted when I found this app free in the Android and the Google Play Store, and it's called Clipper. And really what it does is it allows you to basically keep a history of what you copy and paste. I find myself copy and pasting a lot of things, often similar things that I need to say, directions or addresses or anything like that. And for whatever reason, copy and paste, currently the way the Android phone works is you've got one thing to copy. Mm-hmm. So once you copy something, when you paste it, it's the last thing you copied.
Mm-hmm.
Clipper allows you to keep a log, which is handy. So, and it also lets you see what you've copied and pasted in a while, and it's kind of neat. So, if we go to the demo, I'm over here, so we'll go there, and we will go into my phone. All right, so, I thought I was on Eileen's camera. All right, so up here in the top, there's a little notification that tells you that that Clipper is running, and it's a little clipboard icon. It's kind of hard to see, but you can see it there. And it's real easy in, let's say, you get a text message, and I'm just going to copy my Zipcar text messages, because there's no phone number on there. And so you take what you want to copy and paste. So I'm going to copy the whole text of the message. And I get a little notification up there that says there's a new clipping logged. So I can pull down that and I can go. And it will show me all of my recent things that I've copied and pasted. Mm. So I can take this one and I can copy that one. I can view it. I can edit. I can move it. I can send it. It just gives you more power over what you copy and paste. It's really neat. You can keep lists. So if there are things that you often copy and paste, so if I have like phone numbers and really where this comes in handy for me is less in terms of the copying and more in terms of the pasting. Because like for last week, I was in New York City and I was at a conference and I didn't have my laptop with me and I'm expected to be working while I'm at this conference. And there are things that I say a lot in email. I don't know if you, but if it's like you, but I said, thanks so much. Let me know if you have any questions, things like that. So as I was playing with this app, I was like, oh wow, I could just, kind of use my messaging templates and be able to very quickly compose a message, comprised of the things that I'm normally saying a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's also very handy if there's, I have a conference call dial-in line that I use a lot. So I'm constantly telling people, I'm setting up meetings. Yeah, we'll use my dial-in. Here's the number. And it's a, you know, it's a two line, you know, what the phone number is, what the passcode is, whatever. So that comes in a handy thing just to quickly paste into an email without having to copy it from somewhere. But even more interesting is that copying, pasting, you get a little bit of data, you get a fact, somebody's phone number, something important. That log, this app has already saved me in terms of finding out information and then copying it and then copying something else and losing it. I didn't lose it because I had that log. So if you go back into the app, you can see that there's – it's, you know, very nicely designed. It's using, you know, the new ice cream sandwich kind of look and feel. And you can do these – like I was saying, the snippets are that concept of text that you use quite often. So you can label something a snippet. But what's neat here is in terms in the in the preferences is that you can pretty much specify – what I love, having control over it. So you can you can have it, you know, set Clipper to load up when you boot. You can skip duplicates. You know, you can have a little monitor on, so you can turn it on or off. For some reason, you don't want to be capturing what you copy. Also, in the notifications, you can show the shortcut, not show the shortcut. Like, I just turned it off, it went away. I can turn it back on. You can show the clipboard contents in the notification pane or not. When you do a new copy, you can do a notification or not a notification. So it's pretty neat. And of course, you can adjust the interface. You can set all the different kind of the way it's organized and whether it's dark or light. I can turn it to the dark version. Boom, now it's dark. See? So if you like that look better. So all in all, it's a very small, neat app that is really powerful. And it's free, so it doesn't get better than that. So that's Clipper.
Nice. Yeah, that's cool.
It is good.
I like that. There are so many times because you're right. You go through, you know, sometimes it's very difficult to copy something.
Oh, yeah. That's
and then you go to another app and it won't paste into there because for some reason it didn't copy or whatever.
So what's happening is that instead of it copying into this nebulous clipboard.
Yes, and you hope that it's...
It's going into Clipper and you've got some control over it. You can edit. Sometimes I'll copy, I'll truncate the sentence and I won't get everything. And as opposed to trying to copy it again, I'll just go to Clipper and add what I truncated by mistake. It's pretty neat.
That'd be nice for, you know... Frequent flyer numbers, yeah, stuff like that.
Think of all the things.
Whatever number.
And reposter had a question in the chat room. Did I notice any battery drain? No battery drain whatsoever. It's just a small little daemon app that runs in the background, and it's no. I was monitoring to see if it would, you know, what the performance would be. It didn't impact anything. So
cool.
Right on.
Awesome. So, all right. My app is also kind of something that you can do to improve your phone.
We have a theme.
Yeah, exactly.
This is a theme.
Kind
These
of.
Are phone utilities. These are totally phone utilities.
We didn't plan it. It just happened. Osmosis happened.
We totally planned it. We had a long production meeting. And we said we should do a theme.
Yeah, totally planned, except not. So I know one of my biggest complaints with Android right now is, at least with Ice Cream Sandwich particularly, is they've put so much emphasis on the People's app and, you know, all these great functionality of the pictures that come up with your phone and everything, except they always look like garbage. The pixelation of the images, it has something to do with how Google stores their images in the cloud.
In contacts versus on the phone, like google.com/contacts.
Right. If you stored a contact locally manually on your phone, it would be full res, but if it's synced online, it falls
exactly
out of res, right?
So the default is 96x96.
Yes.
I believe.
Yes.
And so
I had
on my last phone, I had a high res photo that I added on the phone and then it uploaded to Google Contacts and it stayed high res. And then I got the Nexus Galaxy and it pulled the low res version from Google Contacts.
Yeah.
Yep. And now it's all pixelated. Yeah.
That'll happen. It is a pain. And I really hope that Google kind of addresses this at some point if they really want. Because it's like their solution is half-baked at this point because of that. Well, I have an app that at least helps you in populating your images with higher quality images. It's called HD Contact Photos, and it's free, although there is a kind of an upgrade of $1.97 to add some functionality for rooted users, among a few other things. But the basic functionality is totally there. So I'll go ahead and pull it up. This is a really hard demo to do without totally revealing a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
So I had to end up taking screenshots, which, because it's the over-the-shoulder camera, won't matter a whole lot. But this is the app in general. And essentially, the crux of the app is this. You go to this little disk here, and you can import your Facebook friends photos or your Twitter photos. You can also kind of import your stock photos and backup and restore. Now, the backup and restore isn't backing up the images necessarily. The images that you import from Facebook or Twitter, for example, are stored in a folder on your hard drive or on your SD card that you specify up here at the source folder. I have it stored in here. And essentially what it does is, actually I'll go back to settings for a second. Here we go. What you can do, and in my case, because I'm rooted and I have the full version, I've activated this option called Real HD Resolution. It applies more or less these photos in real resolution. You can scale that to whatever you want, up to 512 in the case of the Galaxy Nexus. I can save the images and scale them, make sure that they're at least 512. That's a big improvement from 96 by 96. Yeah. But I'll go back and I'll show you. I would import Facebook friends photos. I'm not going to do it right now because it would take a long time. But once it's done, I'll go over to Astro and show you. I have all of my contacts stored in that folder right here. And all of those images are very high quality images. Hey, there's Alan Schneider. They basically pull in the full res version from Facebook in this example and store it on your phone. So that's stored in a directory on your phone, right? Now, in HD contacts, that feature that I showed you of backup is really actually good for root and ROM users in particular, because you might be moving from one ROM to another. The images are stored on your drive, on your SD card. You can create a backup of all the kind of details that tie those images into your contacts so that when you load a new ROM, all you have to do is restore that backup and it kind of makes the connections for the most part and runs the process again, so it saves you a little time. And that's how you kind of get around the problem that you were talking about, Ron, where like suddenly, you know, you do a sync and it pulls the other versions back. But it's a pretty good solution. Now, obviously, it has to tie up to let's see here. I'm going to go to gallery because I just took screenshots. It has to tie up to people that you have with phone numbers and, you know, data that basically links up between Facebook, for example, and your contacts. And this is such a poor example doing it this way because you as a viewer are not going to see the improvement here. This is the old and it looks fine on this SD video from an over the shoulder camera that's zoomed all the way in. But if you were here in person and you took a look at before and after, it's remarkably different. The older versions have a total muddiness to them, and the newer versions are bright. I'd go into each of these contacts as well to show you the blown up version, but I don't want to reveal Eileen's contact information. Yeah. So
you can show Sarah. Sarah Eileen's is okay. That's fine. She's fine. I talked to her yesterday. She said she's cool with that.
But it's a really good, quick way to essentially upgrade the images on your phone. And it doesn't, you know, it's not going to get every single image, but it's going to get a lot of them. And immediately you'll notice a difference when you're getting calls and stuff like that. That's really about it. I mean, it has a few other settings, but I mean, it's for 2.2 and above. Yeah. So it's not just ice cream sandwich only. And I think it's a great app. I'm always looking to fill out those contact pictures as complete as possible.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll never get fully complete.
That's like one of those things that I'll do. So like I'm gonna fix all the album art in my collection as well too. Yeah, sure.
And doesn't it suck when you go through all that only to then update and boom, all that work is gone.
Exactly.
So this kind of helps you with that. Again, that is HD contact photos. And you should check it out. So that is this week's lineup of apps in the arena. We have Relaunch, we have Clipper, and HD Contact Photos. Why don't you tell us you thought was your favorite app of the week? bit.ly/AndroidPoll63. bit.ly/AndroidPoll63. And you can let us know what you think is the best app from this week's arena.
I love watching the votes come in.
Are they streaming in as we speak?
Yeah, guys, go vote. Come on. There we go. It looks like we're at neck and neck.
Yeah. Especially in the beginning, because really any of us could win at this point.
I like the theme. The theme is nice. This is all phone utilities.
We were really in sync this week.
Device utilities, yeah.
That never happens.
I know.
Well, they say if you spend enough time together.
I know, right?
That's true. So just a quick network note. Just real quick, next week we are going to be rolling out some new higher quality encoding formats and actually upgrading to HD video for a lot of our shows, including, I think, this one. As part of that process, some of you viewers that are subscribed to our large video feed, and if you're using old devices like a second generation iPod Touch, you might not be able to play this updated format. So our smaller mobile format, which you can get right now on the site, that should continue to work with those devices. Unfortunately, when iTunes actually sees an incompatible format, it just stops syncing altogether without any warning. So you may not get next week's show on your device. We want you to keep watching, obviously. So if you have an older device, please visit twit.tv/watch. Twit.tv/watch, not Google Tablet Watch.
Twit.tv/watch. TwitWatch? Wait, you're making TwitWatches? I'll totally get a TwitWatch.
Yeah, so bad.
That's so cool.
You can find more information there and sample files that you can use to check your compatibility. Sorry for the inconvenience, but ultimately it means HD streams of all of our shows, and that's something that everybody's been asking for quite a while. So check that out. I think that is it.
Yes, early returns have relaunched winning with 16 votes, Clipper with 14, and then HD Contact Photos with 9. Let's see if that trend continues.
We'll see. We'll see. It's going to be a close one.
Yes.
Very close.
All right. Well, Ron, I know you have to get your car back.
Yeah, I need to get back to San Francisco, unfortunately. But if you like what I do and you want to find more of it, go find me at about.me/RonXO. That's where I've got links to all my other fun stuff, my day job at Graphically, where we do book distribution and cool digital comics and other cool stuff like that. I fanboy a website all about comics. I'm also on App Judgment on Revision 3 every now and then, and as always, this show. And you can get to my Twitter and Facebook and all that fun stuff there. So about.me/RonXO.
Fantastic. And Eileen.
Same here. About.me/EileenRowe.
Oh, it's like I don't have links to your voices. Let me go ahead.
Why not, Ron? You can find me there also on Twitter at EileenTV. And that's it.
All right. Same for me. You can find me on their pages, but not really. You can find me at
Reagan01. It's going to be very codependent. I don't like it.
at Jason Howell on Twitter, about.me/Jason Howell. And that's it for this week. Send the show a voicemail. Let your voice be heard. 347-SHOW-AAA. You can hit us up on email or send us a video mail and link to it in your email, aaa@twit.tv. You can find the show on Twitter. That's at Android Show. Show notes can always be found at twit.tv/AAA. And finally, you can catch us live every Monday, and that's confirmed, even with the new time changes, starting at 5 p.m. Pacific at live.twit.tv. We ain't going anywhere.
We'll be back next week.
Remember that. And we'll be back next week for another episode of All About Android.
Looking at the wrong camera.
You.
Watch. My watch.
Google Tablet Watch.
I cannot
watch.
Believe we thought that. That's so hilarious.
Google Tablet what?
I was like, what are they going to be watch?
I thought that too.
Yeah.
Did you really?
I did too.
Oh, it wasn't just us. Oh, my God.
I think that's
what,
the
is what is a tablet watch?
What is a tablet watch? There's our episode name. There
I don't
it is.
Know.